So I want to just say for a moment, give a sense of what I have in mind to be sharing with us together this weekend. You know, it's about awareness and wisdom at home. So as I know some of you, not others, I don't know how much practice or different styles of Vipassana practice you may be familiar with. So just to acknowledge, there are different styles of Vipassana practice and also of Samatha, of more one-pointed, of concentration, of ease practice. They're all useful. We just can't do everything at once. Sometimes here in the West, where we have access to so many different styles, we do kind of try to do two or three all at once, and that can get confusing. So why I want to just describe what I'm offering, which was in the description, was a style of receptive, relaxed mindfulness, awareness, conscious awareness, as Ajahn Sumedho often calls it. It's a kind of settling back, but just being willing to be present, to consciously be mindful of whatever's occurring in the mind, in the body, as you move through the day. And it has the two qualities of being both receptive, that we're not trying to achieve a particular state or make our experience be somehow different. The only difference would be the willingness to keep recognizing that we're aware of what's happening when we realize we're all involved in what's happening. And the willingness to explore that that's possible, to remember just recognizing, oh, I'm aware. Not only in sitting meditation, in walking meditation, but in all the activities of the day of our life. Why I really have discovered over this last year and a half of Zoom life, which we never would have done before, that I think it's really far out exploring and practicing in this particular style at home. And true, it still helps to, you know, we've set aside, hopefully you've set aside the weekend to stay relatively simple. Not because we can't bring awareness to complex activities, but for sure it's more difficult. Let's not pretend it's all equal. It's more difficult because our habits are to get all involved in stuff. So to take a weekend, 2 days, and hopefully the evenings too, we'll get to that later, to just simply practice relaxing back into this moment and noticing what's arising by itself. It's so easy, we don't trust it. We want something more juicy to be going on. We want something to happen. You don't want to just, like, you know, be with the breath, be with your footstep, feel your hand washing the dishes. Notice greed is coming up. Notice boredom is coming up. And you'll say, and I'll say, great, you notice boredom, that's awareness. You go, big, big whoop, right? I didn't sign up to be aware of boredom. I want something more interesting. Oh, impatience and greed, awareness of impatience and greed, fantastic. You know, so it takes practice to learn to recognize and trust this way of mindfulness, this way of awareness. But it's amazing to me. It's amazing the power of this simplicity of awareness to really shift the way we are with ourselves, the way we are in the world, to really allow for clear recognition of the habits of heart and mind, the responses that are bringing us more into suffering in this moment, and also the release from that through the simplicity of steady awareness that reveals, oh, wow, getting all lost in that greed, it's only bringing me more suffering. It's not like a should in the mind. It's when you see something clearly, it's, oh yeah, right, that's not really working. Huh. And wisdom puts it down. You don't put it down. It's not an act of will. I have to do this right. I have to get rid of greed. I have to be aware. That's how we get so exhausted. So that's a lot in the beginning, but why to have this time and at home to simply keep remembering. I'm seeing my job, my offering here this weekend for all of us together is just to keep reminding us to wake up again in this moment with awareness. What's happening now? It's more simple than we can stand. I just read this. I don't know if you are aware. Sayadaw Utejaniya is a teacher, a Burmese teacher I've been practicing with quite a lot in the last 10, 15 years. And a lot of how I'm teaching, I learn from the way he presents awareness, but not all. It's not just what he does. But there's a daily Tejaniya that a group sends out, little quotations from him. He doesn't give talks. He just, talks while he's teaching a retreat. He doesn't do a whole lot online either. So an American group sends out these little daily quotes that they've culled from all his different talks. It's kind of fun. So one just came, I think it was yesterday. I thought, oh gosh, this is perfect. So you get to hear it if you didn't already read it. It says, we do not believe that gentle awareness will work. We do not trust that it will grow into something. So we're not patient with gentle awareness. So we get into personal effort, and personal effort uses our own effort for trying to make something happen. While being patiently aware, waiting patiently for momentum to grow uses the natural process, a natural law, natural energy. This is, in a way, the nub of why it's so beautiful and why it's so difficult. Because when we just relax, natural awareness is available. It's no big whoop. So as you're sitting or lying or kneeling, I don't know what position you may be in right now, just as you're sitting, can you feel your hands? Just when I said that, could you just be aware of how your hands feel? You could not, yeah, right. That wasn't really rocket science, right? It wasn't too hard. Did you have to put in a huge amount of effort to do that? Did you feel like you had to send your mind down to your hands and really look hard? Or when I said, can you feel your hands? Was that just naturally there? Yeah, I'm hoping the second. But if it's the first, always stay with what you really experienced. Don't try to make it be something different. That's how we get lost again. But that sense of just feel your hands, that's just natural. Sure, it took the simple remembering of attention to the hands, but it's just a remembering. You see how it is? It's not like a lot of personal effort. And then you don't have to make the feeling in the hands be any particular way. The job of this steady, relaxed awareness is just noticing life as it's revealing itself moment to moment. It sounds like nothing, but what's so amazing to me is that this steady, non-judgmental, non-interfering awareness, our job is just to keep remembering and noticing we're aware, that allows for the way our mind and body is really working to naturally reveal itself. It's amazing when recognizing accurately, as I said before, the habits of our reaction, the response, the way our mind relates to situations, the habits that often lead us into more confusion, more dis-ease, more discontent. Those habits aren't being reinforced. In fact, with steady awareness, they're kind of seen through. I've been listening often during this time to the Dalai Lama. He has a great website, lots of video talks. And as with most teachers, you find, you know, we say the same thing. We have our little shtick that we each really like and say different things, but there's like a certain central hub that we say over and over again. I'm not comparing myself to the Dalai Lama. I say the same thing, I know. He has a lot of great things to say. But one thing that I've noticed in so many different talks that he's given to wide-ranging groups of Dharma practitioners or lay people who maybe don't know Dhamma at all, or all different kinds of groups, you know, he starts right in with how the source of our suffering is all the difficult, confusing emotions, states of heart and mind. As he says, the 84,000 difficult and confusing emotions. I think, okay, 84,000, that sounds about right, right? I mean, on the other hand, you can condense them all into greed, hatred, and confusion. From my mind, that's simpler, but they, you know, they take birth into 84,000 very easily. The source, the reason we suffer, but that the source of the reason that we get lost in the 84,000 confusing, painful emotions is because we don't recognize reality accurately. Not because we're stupid, not because we're bad or evil, not because we have to somehow transcend this human form and go to another plane, but because really, it's like a cycle. When we're in the grip of confusion, of greed, we don't recognize accurately. When we don't recognize accurately, it keeps on feeding the confusion and the greed and the aversion. But the accurate recognition of how things are in a moment, oh, it's like that. It sounds like nothing. It's just, so what? It's like that. But that quality of open heart, oh, it's like this now. Total presence, relaxing of contention with reality into, it's like this right now. This is like this, that this isn't changing. The relationship, oh, it's like this, that changes everything. Peace, ease is available. We start with ourselves. When there's that sense of, in a moment, not forever, but in a moment of trust, of ease, of not getting lost in reactivity to whatever's coming in. Oh, when we start with that willingness through awareness to just meet what's happening in the moment as it is, that sense of ease, of totality of presence, that allows for the wholesome, the beautiful qualities of mind to naturally arise. Wisdom, equanimity, non-reactivity, loving kindness, compassion, generosity. And these then can formulate our response to life. So beginning with really recognizing how suffering arises in a moment in this heart and mind, how it's released, how it just dissolves in the light of clear, receptive awareness of wisdom. We start here, and that naturally moves out to our response in the world. So we can respond, we can act, we can do what's much more appropriate rather than just adding more suffering, more dukkha, more confusion to the world. So that's my little wrap about why I love this practice and why I find it so useful to do at an at-home retreat. Because we need the practice, the simplicity to help us keep recognizing, but then to learn that it isn't something so esoteric that we have to just keep it aside from the rest of our life. So that's what I'm hoping to use this weekend together as a practicum. Yeah, I know I'm talking a bit. I'm hoping to talk less and practice more, because it's not like it's so hard to, there's not that much to say about what we're doing. It's the practicing of it, because our old habits that pull us in are so strong. and I say this from apparently 50 years of experience, that the more we have to keep practicing to remember. But each moment is very simple. So a bit about the way I would think of the context, it's already been introduced, but just to say again, you know, we have a little schedule we're offering, a skeleton schedule from 9 to 4. And if it's possible for you to do the sittings and the walkings to be with us together, that would be great, because the simplicity, as I said, really helps us to allow the mind heart to calm down a bit, to start to remember and recognize when awareness is here. That's all. We're not trying to get concentrated, but just to recognize. Some of you may have, you know, done this style of practice a lot. And I've been noticing for myself lately, I said to think, well, I can just sit down and be aware of what's happening. Yeah, you can sometimes. But often as we're busy, we think we're aware of what's happening. La, la, la. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Aware. So having a little bit of simplicity in the sitting, I'll give a little instructions in our first sitting, and through the day, not because you can't be aware in complex activities, but it's harder. So if you can do the sittings, the walkings, not to get anything, but just to be here, to keep remembering, would be really helpful. I know you're at home. You probably, or you may quite likely have responsibilities in the evening, at lunch, through the day. Fine. You know, do whatever you need to do. And hopefully we learn to bring awareness along with us. But if you have the luxury, the privilege of being a little more simple, as was Deb said in the beginning, try it. Try not checking the news if you don't need to, which is like, you know, that's like one of the nicest things you can do for yourself, in my opinion, is take a day off from the news these days. Try not to multitask. I mean, I can't anymore. As soon as I do two things at once, I mess up one of them. But that's not awareness. That's age. Awareness doesn't mean you can't multitask at all. But keep it simple. And I'm going to begin with a sense of setting the context of just chanting the refuges. Because I like to think of taking a retreat as a way of consciously reminding ourselves to turn our heart mind towards the Dhamma, to take a moment in for yourself to consciously remember your aspiration, which would be why you're practicing. Why do you take the time on a nice weekend to come and do this? You know, getting in touch for ourselves, I find with my aspiration, I do it every day to remind myself, because I know it, but things happen, you know, we just get lost in daily activity. Just remember, oh yeah, the sense of the beauty of the Dhamma or why you're practicing, that can become more and more of the background, more and more of the fabric from which we live our lives. And I've learned a lot this year being at home and practicing of the little ways, even after all these years, my mind would separate being on retreat or practicing and then daily life at home. Little ways. Like I walk in the bedroom and there's a whole set of memories, a whole set of just the way I feel in that room that didn't match with how I feel on the cushion or how I remember being on retreat. And as if being on retreat is aware and walking into the bedroom isn't aware. You know, little senses of separation our mind might make habit that are completely, they don't really mean anything. You bring awareness in when you walk in the bedroom, when you walk out in your garden, when you're playing with your kids. This gives us a chance to explore that. But I found it so helpful to remind myself. Every morning I take the refuges and precepts quietly to myself. That's my way of remembering. It may not be yours. I'm going to chant them and thank you for your patience. I don't have the best chanting voice going, but we know how it is if we all chant together on Zoom. That's a nightmare. So you're welcome to chant quietly to yourselves. That may not be your way. Find your own way. But I find it to take a sense to It's like creating a sacred space, but then we learn to expand that sacred space to ourselves, our activities, our home, and the world. Let's not leave that sacred space back in some meditation hall. So we start by just chanting, taking the aspiration for yourself. And I would hope, just remind us of the five precepts of non-harming, which again, hopefully we live our lives that way. You know, taking, not killing, not harming living beings, not taking what's not freely offered, using our sexual energy in a way that does not harm ourselves or others, that isn't oppressive to ourselves or others. Wise speech, which we is a challenge, is not to lie, of course, not to use harsh speech, not to use speech that's divisive. Two people talking about a third person, to put them down in a kind of bond, just exploring these with interest, and not taking drugs, intoxicants that cloud the mind, that cause confusion. So certainly for the simplicity of this weekend together, that would all be very helpful. Yeah. Anybody have a problem with that? So I hope not. If you do, be aware of it. So I'd like to start that way. And then I start that way, and then we can sit together and do a little instruction. Okay. So maybe just take a moment, if you would, to go inside, tune into yourself. Just kind of feel whatever your aspiration, your reason for your Dhamma practice. Doesn't have to be this weekend, your whole spiritual practice. Doesn't have to be grandiose, whatever's true for you. And he's like, oh yeah, I just remember. I take refuge in the Dhamma, not in my likes and dislikes, not in having the world be the way I want it to be, not in, you know, having everybody love me, just in loving the way things are, just like this. And I'll just chant to begin. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tamang sadanang gacchami. Sanghang sadanang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang sadanang gacchami. Dutiyampi tamang sadanang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang sadanang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang sadanang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang sadanang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang sadanang gacchami. Thank you all for that listening.